It's Sunday night in February. Four fans talking Redskins, Caps, Wizards, Nats in some order. If you've read our blog, as Paul and Paul have written, the four DC area sports fans who realize that we are completely cursed, and now that Cleveland has won their championship last year and got close to winning a second within the same calendar year, I think all eyes are on DC. We are overdue for something. We are plagued with letting our talent leave, drafting, I guess, less than talented players. Jan Vesely comes to mind immediately. Losing talented players, of course, going back to Rasheed Wallace, trading them away, such as Chris Webber, for nothing. It goes on and on. And now potentially losing Kirk Cousins for nothing. So we're passionate about our sports. We love our city. The management of all of our teams stink, and we're here to talk about it.
So when you say the curse, you talk about us not winning in a long, long time. You know when the last time we won a championship in this town was?
It's got to be, what, do we count the MLS? Because DC United had like a four-year winning.
Professional sports with more than six teams.
91.
Don't sleep on the Mystics are a dynasty.
Oh, yeah, the Mystics are a dynasty, too.
Okay, listen. Yeah. I don't want to
I think
offensive.
The Liberty, isn't the tennis team, or the Castles?
They have the Serena Castles. And Venus Williams.
Yeah. Am I going to turn into the offensive podcaster? Because we're talking about sports actually generate money and get mentioned on other sport networks.
I mean, it's got to be the Skins. 91.
Technically 91
season.
But in January 1992 was the last time that this town was able to celebrate.
That's correct.
Right. When our DC football team actually played in DC.
That's also correct. And for an owner that I guess maybe loved the team a little bit less but was less cursed, I don't know. It's been a very weird adulthood for me being a fan of the Skins.
I don't
but
like throwing it all on Snyder. That's played out.
I think Snyder right now is the least of our problems as Skins fans because you have a maybe, maybe not drinking again GM.
Yeah, but you don't know that.
Because Chris Cooley ran his mouth.
I said maybe. More importantly, you have Bruce Allen, who every other person in the DC area thinks all he does is put up
Virginia's great
fancy Inova Redskins signs on the stadium in the practice field and
homecoming games.
Decides what color yellow pants we're wearing. Not even gold, they're yellow. We can't even get our team colors right. How are we going to win a championship?
Hey, the Jim Zorn era was marked by one of the best press conferences of all time. It was very painful for any Redskins fan.
It was also plagued by swinging gait. That needs to just go away completely forever.
Let's not talk about the past. The past is the past. We have been cursed.
We're living the past.
Let's talk about how this curse can potentially end.
No, but the past...
And you know how
past,
that ends? The that past ends with signing a quarterback.
Yeah, but the
signing
past,
your quarterback to a long-term deal.
Hello, Jay Cutler. Because he's got Redskins written all over him.
No, he's absolutely going to retire.
I'm pretty sure Mike Shanahan's been long gone. I don't think Jay Cutler's
still here. Okay, let's just go right into the Kirk Cousins thing.
Jay Cutler has made more appearances in the league than he has in the NFL in the last 2 years.
He was excellent on the league, by the way, if we're going to talk about it. And his wife is a smoke show, 100%.
And he's also apparently a 400-pound lesbian. So
yeah, okay, maybe. But let's just talk about Kirk for a second, okay? They clearly are going to franchise him again this year. I think that's a foregone conclusion. There's no chance they can do it again next year.
Absolutely.
$31 million,
not.
Okay, so...
It's actually
basically
$34 million.
So he's 100% basically playing on one more year in a Skins uniform, and he's going to end up in. I mean, look at all the teams that need quarterbacks. The easy ones are Cleveland, which would be ironic if he goes and replaces RG3 yet again. The 49ers need a quarterback. The Rams potentially could need a quarterback, but his boys over there coaching that team now.
The Bears.
The Bears need a quarterback. Jacksonville needs a quarterback, and Denver is probably a quarterback away from being back.
Denver's getting Tony Romo. I'm convinced of that.
Wait a second. Are we convinced that they're going to franchise him? I mean, you got Daniel Jeremiah reporting that San Francisco is willing to give up a number one and their defensive tackle stud, whatever his name is. I mean, are we convinced that this is going to happen? Because if it hasn't happened already, why are we so sure this is going to happen?
This is going to happen.
If they do franchise him and he puts up similar numbers and then goes to San Francisco, goes to Denver, would that be the greatest free agent loss in the history of the NFL?
In the history of the NFL?
I mean, how many times has a quarterback that's putting up over 4,000 yards in the last three seasons depart a team for nothing? chance to sign. Bigger than Reggie White.
I'd have to go back and look at the numbers. I'd have to go back and look at the numbers, but was McNabb up in that like 7,000-8,000 yards over 2 years before coming to the Skins?
Was he at the peak of his career?
No, definitely not. At the peak of his career.
That's why they gave him up, because he was on the downside.
Yeah. Well, what about Drew Brees?
Drew Brees was injured. Remember, he got injured, and then Phillip Rivers was drafted, or he was backing up or whatever. But
I mean, Drew Brees wasn't even remotely close to the Drew Brees he was in New Orleans when he went away.
But he was still hadn't hit.
He was good, but I mean, they had Phillip Rivers. I mean, right. And that's the whole like Colt McCoy argument. Like,
we've never seen a team let a quarterback walk at the peak of his career as a top 10 QB rating. It's unheard of. Quarterback is the most valuable, most important decision in sports, and we have a top 10 quarterback, and we're going to let him walk for nothing.
Let me say this. I'm not convinced that Daniel Jeremiah or Washington Post or any of these other media outlets are actually speaking truth or just really getting clicks, because if you actually look at any of the things that they say, well, there's a 50% chance. Well, yeah, there's also a 50% chance he doesn't go.
No, but this...
It's just off-season media clicks, and we just got
to... They could have signed Kirk and throw in Deshaun and Pierre at the same time. They could have re-signed all these guys by now. They could have at least initiated conversations, but...
So...
Our receivers are on the record also saying, no, no one's contacted us.
So what I want to bring up is, the whole point of everything here is we're trying to defeat the curse. Have we been so cursed for so long that when you have a franchise that's telling us nothing, we're so quick to jump the gun and just assume that everything's falling apart? Or what if they're actually doing something productive behind the scenes?
Wait a second. Paul, wait a second. Chris Cooley on owner-owned radio station accused the general manager of having an alcohol problem, and the team said nothing. You mean to tell me that's them not saying anything? And that's us creating conspiracy.
So are you trying to tell me that they're going to play a smoke and mirror game with their own fans and the media outlet to let something like that leak on purpose?
Not even smoke and mirror. Bruce Allen's on record. I mean, there's reports that basically behind closed doors in meetings when they're talking about the talent evaluation or draft picks, he goes out of his way to high-five himself about his draft picks versus McLuhan's draft picks.
There's definitely a power struggle between the two.
They put the gag order on McLuhan, whether it's drinking or not, it doesn't matter. The guy's not talking, where this time last year he was talking.
Well, who cares about it? I don't care about a gag order. If he's still going to be providing input and acquiring talent and doing whatever it is he's great at, let him do it and not talk to the media. Who cares? Our media is poisonous. Washington Post hates the Washington Redskins.
But this just reeks of... Snyder, Allen.
I honestly think
almost
Snyder,
collusion, like
Snyder just, has no idea what's going on with the team, and the best thing Bruce Allen has done for this team is
100%
held Daniel Snyder's hand and kept him
absolutely
from
not. It's the biggest fallacy. Snyder walks up and down those hallways. They wouldn't go to the extent of telling interns not to look him in the eye and not to even address him as Mr. Snyder if he wasn't involved. The guy's there all the time. Okay, I don't doubt that he loves the team, but I doubt that he's capable. He's not. This isn't his industry, right? He made his billions of dollars and whatever he made his. He's not Mark Cuban, right? He's not a guy who stepped in and learned the business and eventually got it right. Hit the, you know, mix the right things together in a beacon and got a championship.
You
know, it's not gonna happen.
Do you really believe that Daniel Snyder has the final say on signing Kirk Cousins?
I 100%
he's
believe
the
that.
He's the owner of the team. Why wouldn't he?
And I think he looks at him and he says, "I can get the same."
No.
I think he looks at him and says, "I can get the same
no.
production."
You
want to
know why?
Out of Jay Cutler?
Absolutely not. That Dan Snyder has no say in it, because if he is as big as a fanboy as he is, Kirk would have been signed already.
No. I'm saying he does. I'm saying they look at Kirk Cousins and they say, this was a guy that was drafted by the previous administration in the fourth round as a backup to the guy that we mortgaged the whole farm for,
right,
to bring in, who was the operation. Did we just forget like about all the fanboy stuff that he did to protect RG3?
We tried to forget that.
Okay, we tried to forget it, but it still happened, right?
But if Snyder...
They ended up losing RG3. Hold on. Kirk has two spectacular seasons. We as Redskins fans are sitting here saying, this is the greatest thing to happen in our town for 25 years. We almost made the playoffs for 2 years in a row, but we 100% had two winning seasons, which is the best like 2 year stretch we've had basically in our adult lives. And we're sitting here saying there's one guy more responsible for it than anybody else, and we can't sign him. Furthermore, we're probably going to lose him. If not this year, 100% we're going to lose him next year, because they're not going to pay him $34 million.
And on top of that, you still got to re-sign his big weapons, right? I'm 100% convinced they're sitting in a room saying to themselves, Kirk Cousins is a product of the system. He's got Pierre. He's got Deshaun. He's got one of the most unguardable tight ends in football, who, by the way, is one big hit away from retiring or being a potato in a hospital somewhere. Like, they got to re-sign everybody.
Okay, let me ask you this. What are you saying? Tell me the truth. What do you think? Are they going to sign a long-term deal, franchise, or let him go? Or trade
him? My gut tells me that Kirk may play one more year here. For sure will not play more than one season. If they could have signed him last year on a multi-year deal in the 19, 20, maybe 21 or 22 worst case scenario. Now it's $24 million per season, and next year will be 28. There's no chance.
Listen, Steve, what would you say, Steve? What's going to happen this year?
I would say
10 seconds or less. Go.
Franchise him, and he'll be gone. It'll be chaos next year. All the media reports, it'll be disgusting. Same old DC, and he'll be gone. He'll be a Pro Bowler in San Francisco for 5 years.
So that's two franchise and gone. Paul, what do you say?
I'm complete fanboy and man crush, so I'm going to hope and pray that we sign him right away and give him the deal. Competitive to a Matthew Stafford, a little bit over what Andrew Luck got, and just hope that it doesn't result in a curse. I mean, that's
so it. You're saying a deal before the franchise tag?
I'm saying a deal happens.
This week, before franchise tag?
Yes.
I'm saying franchise tag, five-year deal before July deadline.
Before
5 years, deadline. About 23, 24 million.
I don't know. I've been sipping the Kool-Aid, and I want to bring that up.
You're bathing in it at this point.
That's what I want to bring up. Daniel Snyder, if he is a fanboy, would have been sipping that same Kool-Aid, would have offered that contract a long time ago.
Are you listening to what I'm saying? I think he sits there and he says, we don't need Kirk because we can throw Colt McCoy in there, or Jay Cutler, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
How has that worked since the last 20 years?
That's his MO, right? Every time, listen, did he not draft Jason Campbell? Jason Campbell was a below-average quarterback.
Talking about Daniel Snyder. First of all, anybody that Vinny Serrato drafted is trash. Don't ever bring that up again, because Vinny Serrato does not exist in my mind anymore.
Fine.
Secondly, Daniel Snyder, if you want to tell me that Daniel Snyder, the millionaire owner of the Washington Redskins, actually knows the productivity that's coming out of the players and not just what he's seeing and what he's being fed, you don't know Daniel Snyder, because he is literally a walking checkbook, and when he hears we're doing good, then he wants to throw money at the good.
Okay, but that's the same guy who signed Albert Haynesworth, right? He's the same guy who signed Albert Haynesworth?
No, but that's what I'm telling you. Daniel Snyder is not the one signing people. The people telling him sign these people.
So this isn't a conspiracy theory, but I have a theory on why they're not jumping to open up the checkbook here and spend the money. I have a theory. I think that Daniel Snyder's pocketbook or his wallet is a little lighter these days. I think the fan base here is actually starting to teeter on, maybe it's not that dedicated hardcore fan base anymore because they've been burned so much. What if Snyder doesn't have the money to spend anymore? What if they can't throw around that Haynesworth money because, frankly, they don't have it anymore? What if they're not out? What if they're not actually? Look, we already know that they're you know, every time they announce sellout crowds and this and that, we know it's crap. We 100% know it's crap, right? So what if his pockets aren't as deep as they used to be? What if he can't spend the money?
So the recession hit and everyone gets affected, including millionaires.
No, this isn't about recession. This is about poo-pooing your fan base.
Listen.
This is about.
Joe, can we talk back for a second? Forbes ranked the Redskins 8th most valuable, $2.8 billion valuation. You mean to tell me that Snyder is really going to pinch pennies on $19 million?
I'm just saying it's possible. Let's get off of Snyder for just a second here, okay? If I'm the Redskins office, hold on.
Let me make a point.
Okay.
Let me tell you this: if Daniel Snyder is truly the one making the final decisions for this, then we are cursed forever. Hence the blog, okay?
But we are cursed forever.
Look at Robert Kraft in New England. Has he ever made a decision on signing players? Look at Rooney in Pittsburgh. Has he ever made a decision?
Even Mara in New York.
Art Modell still alive in Baltimore. Whoever owns the Ravens. It's always Ozzie Newsome. It's always Scott Pioli. It's always whoever the hell the GM in Pittsburgh is. That's not how a franchise is run.
No, I agree with that. And that's why when I look at it, I don't see how, given the current situation, Kirk gets re-signed. So, like, as a Redskins fan, like, as far as, like, defeating the curse, the best path forward in my mind, you're going to franchise and lose Kirk probably. You're going to franchise him this year and lose him next year. You've got to re-sign both Deshaun and
Can I
and Pierre?
No, I'm sorry. You cannot decide Deshaun.
Can I bring up one point?
Deshaun is
who else does what he does? Nobody.
He's 30 plus years old.
Zero. Doesn't
matter. His time of speed is very limited. If Snyder's
got these deep pockets, then the only guy in the league who can do this, you keep him on your team.
Can I bring up a point aside from contracts and players and who to sign and who not to sign? I'm going to tell you right now, your biggest issue with the Redskins front office is Bruce Allen. Daniel Snyder is a walking bank. Scott McLuhan, proven in other franchises. Bruce Allen, hired because of his name. Bruce Allen, holding Dan Snyder's hand, telling him, listen to me, I'm going to tell you what to do, I'm going to work the team, we're going to be magical, I'm going to bring in this guy, I'm going to bring in this guy. All of a sudden, the guy that Scott McLuhan, the things that Scott McLuhan is doing is working, and then Bruce is like, I'm not big man on campus anymore, Scott, you need to shut up. Your cancer right now is Bruce Allen, and really, if you look at his resume, all he has is a last name that came from your fanboy owner saying, oh my God, you're an Allen, come run my team, even though you have no idea what you're doing. It's not an issue with money. It's not an issue with Scott McLuhan and our GM.
He had some success, right, Tampa? Like, we can't just pretend it didn't happen.
What has Tampa done?
I know. But look.
Are you going to say it was him?
They went to the Super Bowl.
I mean,
except the worst thing about the Redskins organization right now is that cesspool called FedEx Field, okay? Who is still going to that disgusting place in Landover, Maryland?
That's another thing.
That's just people who live in Maryland.
And who wants to come play for a team where they have to buy a $4 million small house compared to any other team, get stuck in traffic, practice in Ashburn, and drive through Maryland drivers to go back to FedEx.
But that's a good point. I mean, there's no home field advantage here, right?
Right.
Like people,
home field advantage anywhere in D.C. What, you put that in the middle of the city, right next to the White House, there's no home field advantage.
I mean, we have too many Cowboys fans
who are born and raised in D.C. And
NBD, I mean, the Centerville, Virginia Cowboys fans are my favorite because
NBD, I mean, never been to Dallas.
Never been to Dallas, right? But,
but let me tell you the thing about the stadium. The stadium's probably going to move to One Loudoun, which is just as bad.
No, it's
going to be better for us. It's going to be living in Virginia.
It's going to be at RFK.
There's no chance.
Yeah, once we become the Washington
Senators. We'd have to change our name for that.
No. This is Trump's America now. It'll get done. It'll get done. There's too much money. There's too much money to be made. There's too much money to be made. Yeah, fake. Exactly. There's too much money to be made. But the stadium is a real deal, too, because... Like, who wants to go play in front of a half-empty or half-Redskins fan?
Kirk Cousins wants to go play in front of a crappy-ass field.
I know, but this goes to my point, and not really a point, maybe more of a conspiracy theory, that we can't sell out the stadium. When was the last time there was... First of all, people don't talk about this, but at one point the stadium was like 98,000 people, and there was people like staring at like a cutout thing and obstructed view seats and standing room only seats and blah, blah, blah. And that kept happening over and over. And then suddenly it goes from 98,000 to like, I don't know, 85,000. And now it's down to like 78,800. And it's probably going to shrink again. So I think Snyder looks at that and says, well, I can't get Redskins fans to come to this crappy stadium. I can't get Redskins fans to pay for club season tickets and whatever else to eat Hooters wings and smoke in the club lounge.
And pay $12 for a beer.
I can't get people to come out here and pay $50 to park 2 miles away from the stadium. The metro is in here. I don't think the money flows as easily and as aggressively as it used to. And on top of all of that, I think he looks at it and he says, well, damn, if I could redo this, why wouldn't I put in an RFK? This is my own thought. If I'm the owner of the team, I'd move immediately back into RFK. I'd build a 60,000 person stadium. I'd do some weird design thing like they did in Seattle and everywhere else,
circle,
and try to fill it with actual Skins fans.
To go full circle, if money was such a big driving factor in outside of player contracts and extensions, then you would take Fanboy Snyder, who saw his stadium get filled more and more and more with Kirk doing better and better and better, and would be like, clearly this guy is providing me some source.
Wait, but what makes you say it was better? Miami overtook our stadium when they came to opening week one.
2015,
right?
Because what did we do?
Pittsburgh overtakes our stadium.
We didn't do anything week one, 2015.
But everybody takes over our stadium.
Okay, listen, Miami,
you're telling me when Miami, Cousins,
everybody takes over our stadium.
You're telling me if Kirk Cousins gets signed to a long-term deal this offseason, you're not going to tell me that week one, all the Redskins fans, after all this BS, are going to come in full force and be happy that our team finally did something right.
I wouldn't go to the stadium for free tickets.
Let me ask you
I'm
this.
I'm not going there for any reason.
We're four pretty hardcore Redskins fans. When was the last time we've been to a game?
Going to
it's
games.
Been 3 years for me.
Two of us are season ticket holders for 3 years. And, I mean, that was it's the dark ages of our friendship, actually, because that was miserable. And RIP, we lost 21 during that stretch as well. But yo, I would never. I don't care. You could give me a limo.
Huge ass curse. You could.
I mean, but that one more respectfully. But to you could, if there was a limo that picked me up from my house and I ate for free and I drank for free and it brought me home after the game, I still wouldn't go because the game day experience sucks.
Would I have to pay?
We for had free tickets to the.
We get free tickets every year
to the Panthers game this year. Gladly turn that down.
Thank God.
Monday night we got massacred.
Yeah.
Who? It's too big of a risk.
This is a moot point, Joe. He's never going to move into D.C. Of course, he wishes he could move to D.C., but he's not the mayor of D.C. The current mayor of D.C. does not want him and his...
Yeah, the mayor of D.C. wants the money. They wants that Northern Virginia, cash cow running in, coming in, you know, 8 Sundays out of the year, just flooding that whole area with cash.
And it would make an awkward brunch conversation with him and Terry McCullough.
Yeah, maybe a little bit here and there, but I mean, I don't see a path forward where that team is not. I mean, what are they gonna do? Blow up FedEx and build some other monstrosity that's too far away for people? The fans are in Virginia. Why is the stadium and keep in mind it wasn't Landover before, right? When they originally built it, the original owner it was Raul John, right? It was like literally like a throwaway idea that just somehow happened. I think FedEx loses the lease on the. Go ahead.
Ralph John was a combination of
Ralph and John. No, I know. But I'm saying it was literally like a desolate wasteland because that's where the old that's where the Bullets used to play, right? They tore down the Capitol Center and then they put that stadium up instead. And now they built like townhouses around it. Like, come on, the home developers want that land just as much as Snyder wants to be in the Skins.
So our teams got gentrified out.
Well, I'm saying the bulk of Redskins fans live in Northern Virginia or in Virginia in general. They outnumber the D.C. contingent and the Maryland contingent probably combined, especially with the success of the Ravens, right? Like, I mean, it's just a natural thing. If you're coming, right? It's like Skins fans. I mean, there used to be a time before the Carolina Panthers where basically from D.C. all the way to Atlanta, it was all Skins fans. That doesn't exist anymore.
Bottom line, the stadium needs to move to somewhere that's more metro accessible and not in Maryland.
Yeah, 100%. I completely agree. And then maybe you get fans in there. Actually, you will get DC actual Skins fans in there to actually give the team a home field advantage. I mean, it's unacceptable for Deshaun to come from Philly, like the armpit, the toilet of America, here. And I mean, I'm sure he's expecting people to come out and cheer him. And no, it just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Not to mention, I mean, look. It goes to the radio station. The radio station that broadcasts on FM, but it's an AM signal. It's so many things that add up to just what amounts to as a fan. It's not this world-class organization. I'm sorry. Like, I don't care what Forbes says. I know the numbers are huge, and I'm sure Snyder's made a nice chunk of change on it. But we are not the...
Who's to blame? Your checkbook owner or your president of operations?
I mean, don't the fans deserve a little bit of it too?
A little bit of both.
Maybe 1% on the fans too.
The fans are justified in our non-caring.
Doesn't this whole blog and podcast exist because we're
justified? We've been given a crap product for what, 23 years and some change. I mean, we're justified in not caring. We're justified in not going. We're justified in not trying. It should be the actual organization.
I mean, okay, so...
So let me tell you this. The other thing that kind of bothers me is I was at the Wizards game today, and at halftime, they had all the mascots from all the different teams in the D.C. area. They had Maryland Terrapins, they had Georgetown, they had the Ravens, they had the Capitals. They did not have the Redskins.
Because we had an unofficial mascot, like Chief Z, rest in peace, and that was it. That's all we had. That's all the Redskins had. We've never had a mascot. We have a marching band. We are literally the dorks of the NFL that show up with a marching band.
You can still have an Indian come out, something.
Not in modern America where everybody gets triggered because...
Have you seen who our president is?
If Josh Norman can't pretend to shoot an arrow...
Yeah, I mean, Josh Norman is getting flags for pretending to shoot an arrow, which he was doing before he came here and has nothing to do with Indians, Native Americans... Or archery, even. It's just some stupid celebration.
And you have another receiver, Cooks, in New Orleans doing it, and nobody cares because he's not on an Indian-themed football team.
I mean, isn't the New Orleans Saints name offensive to the non-religious? Like, I mean, I don't know. The name thing just drives... It gets under my skin. It gets 100% under my skin. It's so stupid.
But I disagree. You guys probably all disagree with me. I'm totally fine with changing the name.
Me too. I absolutely agree.
I think nobody cares, and let's just move on.
Honestly, it's the OCD in me. If the rest of our teams are going to have semi-political type names and red, white, and blue color schemes, you're already, like, just change it. Just go with the flow, change it. What are we can't, if we can't hold on to the past in every other aspect of our team, why are we holding on to burgundy and
it's gold? An 80-plus year old franchise. You cannot make a change to that. There's just too much history behind it. You can't make a change to that.
The history is not carrying through.
No, but Cowboys is offensive to Cowboys is offensive to vegetarians, okay? Saints is offensive to the non-religious. Oklahoma is named after Native Americans. We got to change that too. If it's just going to be like we got to change everything that's offensive, or because someone's going to get triggered, and
I'm not
they
saying change
room,
offensive. I don't, stupid. Give, I don't care about the offensiveness. What I'm
not to mention
is,
the history of the team that it was named after. It was named in honor of the first head coach of the team. Like if you actually open a history book and look at it, it wasn't done to like to spit on a subset of the population.
Yeah, we also started out really as the Boston Braves. It's still part of our theme song. It doesn't matter.
Solid point.
That's a good point. I'll give you that. But I don't know if the name change has anything to do with the curse. To be honest, I don't think that's what's stopping the franchise from moving forward. I don't think any player is saying. I don't think Josh Norman sat there and said, you know, I'd love $85 million guaranteed, but you know, I'm not really down with this name.
The curse is all these little things are added up in one franchise, and we have a very easy way to almost wash away all of that and kind of start building something new, and we are incapable of doing
it. Are about to throw it away.
That's the curse. We have all these little issues.
So hold on. Okay, that's a good point. So do we agree then the Redskins are the most cursed out of the four major sports teams?
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, does everybody agree on that? Steve, you agree on that too?
I don't know about that. When was the last time the Wizards... Before, 3 years ago, made the playoffs. 1978.
Hold on.
78.
It's been a long time. You know what? The Wizards are not cursed.
But the Wizards used to be a basketball town way before it was a Redskins.
The Wizards are not cursed. It is self-inflicted. It is not a curse.
I think there's a difference between being cursed and just sucking.
That's a great transition. Go ahead, Steve.
Right, so the Wizards just suck. The Wizards just suck. And there's a difference between being cursed and sucking. Right, no, so you say 19.
The Redskins sucked for so many years too.
They field on the court. Okay, that's different than being cursed. That's different than letting go of your franchise quarterback for no reason. That's different than calling for the swinging gate. That's different than your GM having a drinking foul.
That's different than having one of the best shooters in hockey and you still choke year in and year out come playoffs.
We had an
all-pro future Hall of Fame talent get gunned down in his home. In a freak injury, sitting at home with an injury.
May he rest in peace.
What other team?
May he rest in peace.
Yeah.
The Redskins are cursed, but a lot of it is also self-inflicted. The Wizards suck. I'm going to say the Nationals are too new-ish.
The Nationals.
Let's talk about the Wizards. The Wizards didn't suck until the last two games.
It's true.
We had the second best record in the NBA all of December and January.
I'm talking about this year. No, if we're talking about a curse or sucking in general, let's look at it like the last like 15 years. There was like a weird stretch right in the middle of the 90s where they, or was it 97 and 98? I think they ran into the Bulls twice in the playoffs. Right? And C-Webb and Juwan and whatever and Rasheed and that team kind of held its own and to the point where Michael Jordan, you know, even said afterwards, like, this team is up and coming and blah, blah, blah. And what do they do? They blow the team up.
They
throw them all away. And then we kind of resurface, if you guys recall, with the Gilbert. Yeah, exactly. And we end up with and then a couple years later, and then we go in through, like, a couple seasons where we win, like, 20 games. Then all of a sudden they trade or they sign Gilbert Arenas as a free agent. Larry Hughes ends up here.
Rip Hamilton.
And we're starting to build another team. And then poof, all that talent goes away again.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you have guns in a locker room or pointed guns.
I mean, that came much later, and I have nothing to say
about
it.
But to be honest, that happens a lot in the NBA. I mean, look at Sacramento. They just traded DeMarcus Cousins.
No, we're not talking about
this. This is their only player that they have that's worth anything on that team, and they just traded him away. It happens often. I mean, Miami just threw everyone away after LeBron decided to leave, too.
They won, like, 5 championships
after
in 7 years.
They traded for Shaq.
They won championships. Wouldn't you trade some talent and win a couple then and blow it up? Fine. It's like the Marlins.
I am offended. I'm offended at you, Joe, to talk about a Wizards curse. and not mention the 2001 draft with Kwame Brown. Okay, that is offensive. As somebody who, me and you, sat in a gym across from Kwame Brown and watched him miss shot after shot after shot.
I know.
From literally the elbow.
I
think it was the day he got traded to the Lakers. Do you remember
The day he got traded to the Lakers, he came into the gym. Steve and I were shooting around. He came into Sport and Health in Tyson's Corner. And for 25, maybe 35 minutes or so, we just stopped. We just watched him, right? And at first, you're just in like – you're kind of like in shock. Like you're seeing him up close, and he's a giant, literally. I think he made – he missed probably his first 15 shots from the elbow. Like it was absurd to see him up close. He was completely uncoordinated. And you're right. The 2001 draft class, which turned out to be a better class, Kwame as the headliner, and you know the whole Jordan thing. I mean, that's a weird time, and I remember it, I think, a little bit differently than most. Like I remember September 10th, 2011, reading about like Michael Jordan coming out of retirement, and then obviously September 11th happened, and that affected everyone in DC. But yeah, I mean, 2001. Like it's one of those things that it's like. Yeah, Kwame sucks, 100%. I mean, and then he ended up on the Lakers, and then he went to Memphis, I guess, and then Detroit and whatever. But like that was a horrible decision by a rookie GM who happened to be the greatest player of his generation or maybe the best ever or whatever. But the reality is, like, when you fast forward, like, the team was plagued with horrible decisions after that. They bring in C-Webb, right, and then they trade him for an old Mitch Richmond. And then you fast forward even more, Gilbert Arenas, like, goes nutty and starts pulling guns on people, and then they draft John Wall and they got no talent around him.
About the idiot Swaggy P and
I didn't forget about anybody.
JaVale McGee.
But look, just look at recent history. They got John Wall. They draft Beal. Beal can't. This is the first year that Beal's really stayed healthy. And look at what this team is able to do.
And Otto Porter actually figured out how to be productive.
How many horrible coaches has this franchise had?
Scotty Brooks was known for.
Okay, I'm not the conductor on the train. The Ernie Grunfeld is a savior train, because that's the same dude that drafted Vesely. That's the same dude that traded. He signed. The decisions are endlessly bad. Okay, the good ones are very few and far between.
He was praised for this recent trade, but what did he do? He actually just tried to fix his trade, his signings that he did in the summer.
Because he spent $64 million on you, basically. It's horrible. I mean, you can go out there and give us... I can give the Wizards 4 minutes and a rebound, I think.
And I'm capable of that, and I'm freaking...
He actually played amazing today, though. So he's getting his legs back. I mean, you can't knock him for signing a guy who ended up hurting a knee.
But you can
knock him for signing a guy like Andrew Nichols or...
What is Mr. Vesely most known for in the universe?
Smoking hot girl
at draft night. When they ask him who he compares his game to, he stood up straight-faced and said... where is he from? I don't remember where he's from. He said something stupid, like he was the Croatian Blake Griffin. And even the reporter was like, that doesn't make sense. And then he made out with his smoking hot girlfriend. We all forgot about it. Then he shows up on a court. And he was horrible.
Is he even in the league anymore?
I don't think so. I'd have to check on that.
He's probably playing in China or something.
You guys are bigger Wizards fans than me, okay, admittedly. What does it matter that they are playing so well? Isn't it a foregone conclusion they're playing for second place in the Eastern Conference?
No.
There's a zippy chance that they can beat the Cavs in a 7-game series.
I completely disagree.
I disagree as well.
I disagree 100%.
The Cavs game 2 weeks ago,
I would
take that to a game
after
seven?
These past two games?
No, everybody has a slip-up. But look, the Cavs without Kevin Love right now are catchable. Okay, it's 6.5 games. They can absolutely catch them. The Celtics are playing some spectacular basketball, but the strength of their team is their point guard, which happens to be the strength of our team. And I will take John Wall head-to-head. I know it's a very even matchup, but I got faith in John Wall. The guy is playing fun, like they're both playing lights out. I think the supporting cast on the Wizards is actually better. I think they're more talented. The Wizards have a top six, top five, maybe even top four starting five rotation. And with this latest trade, you're bringing in a sixth man off the bench and maybe a seventh as well. I was kind of torn when they had a shot at Cousins, maybe, but they would probably be giving up a big. I just didn't want to see them do that because it would disturb the chemistry on that front line.
It's true.
I mean, Scotty Brooks is doing a phenomenal job. This guy, I mean, this team started out 2-8 and then basically didn't lose a game for half of December, all of January, and most of February. All the primetime games that they've had over the last couple of years, they destroyed the Thunder,
right?
Who have the best point guard in basketball matched up against our point guard. So, yeah, I'm pretty confident in John Wall 100%. I'm real confident in John Wall against Isaiah Thomas. You know, but and against the Cavs, it took LeBron making some pirouette out of bounds, funny landing.
One in a million shot.
Yeah. Or that game would have
AKA the curse.
That is the curse right in front of your face. You're 100% right. And the opposite of it, a couple years ago against Atlanta in the playoffs, Paul Pierce hits how many three-pointers at the end of every period, it seemed like, in the overtime, and it goes in, and then they review it, and it didn't count. You know, yeah, we couldn't force that game. Like, only the Wizards get to the second round of the playoffs, have Atlanta basically pinned down on the mat, and then end up losing John Wall with a broken finger. If John Wall stays...
Aren't you concerned that the Wizards have peaked too soon here? I mean, the Cavs, once J.R. Smith comes back, once Kevin Love comes back, once Kyle Korver gets settled in, they're going to be peaking right around playoff time. The Wizards have already peaked.
Okay, well, hold on. Ashton Kutcher is on... there's no chance this guy can keep doing what he's doing. I don't know how he does it, but that team... Especially if they bring in Deron Williams, I just don't see how they have minutes for everybody.
Anytime you bring in a player, you risk the chance of losing chemistry between your current players. So the Cleveland Cavs are completely capable of just completely falling apart. Now it's probably unlikely. They may slip up a little bit, but we'll probably catch up.
I think the Wizards have a shot in a 7-game series to beat them. I mean, I don't see why not. They match up pretty well.
If you take that, take that last matchup and you essentially give them another 6 games, absolutely, I think it can go either way.
I think Washington can go toe to toe with anybody in the Eastern Conference.
I actually think they
match up. I'll tell you what: if the Wizards find a way to beat the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Finals, those 4 games in the NBA Finals with the Golden State Warriors, they're going to lose by 35 points each game.
Yeah, but
they will lose by 250 total points.
I don't know, man, because it's the same thing. I don't think the Wizards. I don't think the Wizards can beat them. I'm not saying they can beat them, but I don't think they get blown out. I'm sorry. I think there's the Wizards can shoot. They can put up points too, and they can play defense. I think Draymond. Look, we'll talk about the Wizards or the Warriors for a second. Draymond Green is one nut kick away from being suspended for a game, 2 games, 3 games. The guy's got a problem. Even last week, he kicked somebody in the shoulder. How do you kick somebody in the shoulder? Okay, the guy's got an actual issue. So, yeah, that team is stacked and it's good. It's not as good as the team that was last year. Kevin Durant gives him another dimension. But
what happens when Steph Curry gets injured again? What happens if he rolls an ankle?
But that's what I'm saying. The strength of that team, to me, as good as Kevin Durant is, the team goes based on Steph Curry. Okay, yeah, if he misses a game here and there, there's enough talent to kind of get by. But any team that where the strength of the team is the point guard, I love the Wizards' chance. Kyrie is awesome, and I wouldn't have said that a couple years ago. But
you talk about the curse, and how much of a curse would it be to see KD lift that trophy in D.C., across from T.T. Kelly? Game 4 of the NBA Finals.
It'd be just as bad as when you see Kirk Cousins do it for the Niners.
walks and Romo comes here, and his collarbone explodes in week 1.
There's no chance Romo's coming.
Well, that's the stupid theory, right? Is that if they lose Kirk, they bring in Romo, which is nuts. But if you're gonna, like, we've already tried this experiment with Mr. McNabb and it didn't work. But that's why, to me, and I don't want to go back to the Redskins here, but if you're not gonna sign Kirk, you got to max out Pierre, Deshaun, and you have to, because that's the only chance.
Who's gonna throw the ball to them if you don't have Kirk?
Well, at least you had a chance. Is not.
I would take Sexy Rexy over Tony Romo.
Sexy Rexy is probably 350 pounds right now.
A yes or no question: is everyone here cool if San Francisco offered us 2 first-rounders for Kirk?
No.
Yes or no?
Absolutely no.
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 I don't want a first rounder. I want a quarterback.
We've already done this.
We haven't had a quarterback for 25 years. I just want a quarterback.
No, it's not even that. You can give us 15 first rounders. We don't have the people in the front office to figure out what to do with them.
I agree with you 100% on that.
Give me first rounders for the next decade. We're still going to end up with freaking...
As a Redskins fan, I have accepted the fact that my team will likely not be mediocre. Can we be mediocre with a good quarterback as opposed to being mediocre without one? Like, can we just retain our own talent? I would rather lose with Kirk than lose because we didn't re-sign him. Especially, this is the franchise that spends, like, essentially $1 billion on garbage talent or older or players that are past their prime or whatever. Like, no, I can't. I can't do that anymore. I just can't. I can't. I want to lose with Kirk Cousins. I want to lose with Kirk Cousins by himself.
And Jay Gruden.
Yeah, I like Jay too. They got to extend Jay. Extend the receivers and pray Colt can actually play until you find Kirk. So that kid out of UCLA, maybe.
No, you can just sign Kirk. There's no options.
We're cursed. We're going to get rid of Kirk, and then Jay Gruden's going to get on the hot seat. We're going to fire him. We're going to start all over again. We're going to get some.
But I'll tell you,
we're going to get some scrub defensive coordinator to come in.
But Steve, I'll tell you this: if the Redskins don't sign Kirk, I'm out this year. I'm no longer a fan.
You know, I heard a lot of people say the same on local radio, and I wanted to say the same. Like, I just don't see it happening. I don't know what I would do on my Sundays. Who am I going to cheer for?
What are you going to do on Sundays? What are you going to take up gardening? What are you going
to
do?
FanDuel.
I'm gonna watch Kyle Shanahan and Kirk Cousins destroy.
Yeah, I mean, do you cheer for Kirk if he leaves? Like, what am I supposed to do with that too?
Did you cheer for Robert when he left? Well, he didn't get a chance to because he was always injured.
No, Robert cheered enough for Robert when he left.
I mean, Robert still cheers for Robert. Wouldn't that be the ultimate Dan Snyder move? Like, not pay Kirk, bring back RG3. Like, isn't that just the ultimate? Like, I don't know. But Steve,
I think we're not giving Dan enough credit. He's not that much of an idiot. Dan has done some stupid things.
Listen,
he's not
Dan
that much.
Dan Snyder is a toddler with a checkbook. He doesn't know anything about what's going on in his own organization. He's just giving people money when the people ask him for it. That's it. That's all he does. And then
God, we're so cursed.
All that happened was we had an idiot asking for money.
We're so cursed that we've been trying to talk about four teams on this podcast, but we've always gone back to the Skins.
Okay, so we agreed that the Skins were the most cursed, and the Wizards were probably the second most cursed.
The Nationals are too new, but they have... This is going to be Steve's highlight right now. The Nationals have had plenty of curses. Probably in the last, four years?
They keep having an incredible regular season. They have a deep, somewhat deep stockpile of talent.
You get into the NL.
And then we just can't do anything when it counts. Right. And I don't understand. I personally don't understand the Giolito trade at all. So
You guys are sleeping on the simple fact that the Nationals are a model organization in the major leagues. They are run perfectly by one GM, Mr. Michael Rizzo, who happens to be, of course, a friend of mine. I just want to name drop here.
They bought ice cream at the same ice cream parlor once within like 10 minutes of each other, and he's Steve's best friend.
Did you guys get the same flavor? Did you fake what flavor you were going to get?
Can we get sponsored by Bill's Coffee here, please? Can we get some sponsorships going? My goodness. Look, the Nats are the anti-Redskins. That's what people are sleeping on. The Nats are run perfectly. They have a great farm system. They sign all the right players. They keep their own talent. They grow their own talent. And they are seen as a shining example of how to run a major professional sports organization.
But why do they choke every postseason?
If that was the case, then bringing in a seasoned, experienced, veteran manager should have gotten them over the hump, right?
Okay. No, they fumbled the Bud Black, Dusty Baker thing. It was kind of a weird situation. They thought they had Bud Black. He reneged. They went to Dusty. Dusty's a great manager.
Well, hold on. But this is the same franchise that drafted a stud pitcher, overpitched him, overpaid him, and then
had to shut
him down. And is very likely to lose. Probably, who's going to go ahead?
The whole shutdown controversy is bullshit. Also, because look at Matt Harvey. Matt Harvey's arm's about to fall off. Because he refused to be shut down last season. Okay, they made the right decision by shutting him down, and that was a doctor thing. It wasn't a Rizzo thing.
I know, not to go back to the Redskins, but wasn't RG3 shut down by a knee expert and then hobbled his way back onto the field and cost us a playoff game?
It's also because Lobster Face had no balls of his own.
I mean, the lobster was a problem. But on the Nationals, but on the Nationals thing in particular, Did they overpay Strasburg?
Overpay for
Strasburg.
For Strasburg.
Look, it was a sweetheart deal, right? Scott Boras and Mike Rizzo share a bed together at night, okay? That's no secret, okay? So Boras owns Bryce Harper, Strasburg, Jason Worth, a bunch of players, just the new guy, Matt Wieters, okay? Boras runs these guys, so he gave them a deal on Strasburg. I know it sounds ridiculous for not the huge baseball fans. $175 million is a deal for an elite pitcher. Strasburg was 15-1 last season before he got shut down.
But he got shut down. I think
unbelievable.
But that's the point, Steve. Like that isn't that the curse of the Nats? Like is he ever going to play a complete season? Is he ever going to get a 20-win season? Like, is he ever going to be able to? I mean, maybe he will never be that number one pitcher with Max on the roster, but is he ever going to be that workhorse at number two?
Yeah, he will be. If he is managed properly.
Listen, I love the Nationals.
Mike Maddox, the pitching coach, is fantastic. Now he's learning. His first season, last season, he's learning how to manage these guys properly. And Strasburg is going to be more limited. He's not going to push 7-8 innings a game, and that's okay. It would be better if we had a decent bullpen, but that's a different story. But he's not going to be asked to do a lot. The Nationals are going to be contenders this year. They do have some question marks. They got no closer, and that's what's stopping them from going deep in the playoffs, is they have no closer. And that's unbelievable that Rizzo wasn't able to get Aroldis Chapman and any other big studs. No one has won a World Series without a big closer. Well, and that's just...
I mean, I don't know enough about Giolito, but wasn't he pegged as like that mid-reliever type of pitcher that come in and give him a couple innings?
Well, he was supposed to be a starter. You're talking about Giolito?
Yeah.
He was supposed to be an ace. And... Well, that was the weird thing, is Rizzo normally never trades his farm guys, so now is not happy. He wants to win now, because they don't think Bryce is going to be here in 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, because that's, isn't that consistent, though? Isn't that the Nats curse? He's gonna be in, where he's probably going to be an Angel, or a Yankee, or a Met, or...
No, it'll be a
Yankee. Yeah,
that's the distant curse.
He's going to overpay for him, because he's not that good. That's my hot take for it. If I was Stephen A. Smith, that'd be my hot take. Bryce Harper is not worth $500 million. Just let that sink in for you. And on the free agent market.
So let me say this.
That's a lot of money.
And you guys probably
That's a lot of money.
Know a lot more Nats than I do.
It's a quarter of but the Reds' worth.
It seems like in the playoffs, the Nats just choke at hitting the ball.
Well, Adam Worth, Game five Adam Worth last, is, last year. I mean, a grandfather by comparison. I mean, the guy's... Yeah. The guy, I mean, he's had some nice runs. He had a really good stretch the second half, like final third of the season last year, where he was hitting the ball really well. But, yeah, I agree. They get into the playoffs and something changes. Like, it's a young team.
Daniel Murphy was going to change that last year, and he came up to bat in that game five and popped it out.
It's a completely different curse.
Guys, baseball is a different beast than basketball. Okay, you're talking best of seven, best team always wins. Best of five, completely different. You one or two plays turns the thing. Last year they faced the Dodgers. In five games they had to face Clayton Kershaw three times. He wins a game by himself. No, nobody outside of LeBron James can win an NBA game by himself. Baseball.
John Wall can.
I don't call it a choke. I was in the building for all those game fives in 2012, 2014, 2016. 2012 they choked. They were up by six. They choked. 2014, 2016, they just got beat by better players.
2012,
I'm going to turn them optimist.
2012 was 5 years ago. That's a long time ago.
I mean, that was my worst sporting event. We should actually, that'd be a nice little roundtable. The worst sporting moment that you've ever witnessed in DC was 2012, Game 5, the Nats against the Cardinals. We were up 6-0 with one out to go. And we choked.
Are we talking
and
about
I recorded 2012? The last out 30 times on my iPhone.
Are we just talking about the worst? Time. We're talking about our worst experience at a sporting event in D.C.?
In person or just
yeah,
in general?
Yeah, I know what you're going to say, Jeff.
In general? Steve, in general or in person?
Would be good.
In person or in general?
Let's do it in both. Person if you got it. Because I got the RG3 ankle. I got the RG3 knee as well against the Seahawks.
That would be... Well... I know.
Well, that knee was already shredded.
I know what mine is. Go ahead. Well, what's yours?
I still have no idea. There's so much.
Mine was easily the RG3 Baltimore Helodinata hit.
Oh,
where we waited all day on DVR to not watch anything,
and me and Paul were watching, and I literally cried during that.
This man had tears in his eyes watching literally the future, because we just knew, you just knew that the future of your team just became a cripple. Like,
I was all in for RG, and now I'm all out.
I would say my worst, and it's going to be a Skins one, is when Michael Vick came in on Monday night as an Eagle and murdered us.
Yeah.
And all, we literally slept on the field. We literally just laid down and took it. And that's when you knew that this team was nowhere near the successful franchise that
was. That the Operation Patience debut of RG3?
No, we got blown out that game.
That was also a blow game, right? Because that one was painful too, because ESPN...
I think that Vick game, was that where Haynesworth wouldn't get up after
the play? That's where he missed on a tackle and just laid down and waited for the play to end.
Just waited for the ambulance with his money to back up and pick him up off the field.
With his Publishers Clearinghouse mega check.
That was a disappointing game. I remember the operation, like watching that game and being all hyped up. It was Monday night, first game of the season. ESPN had did like a 15-part special on RG3 and all of his ridiculous training to get back up to speed, and he's on the field in Operation Patient shirt, and everybody's talking about he's going to take a fine, but it doesn't matter. We were all geeked up, and I think he threw an interception on his first three. He threw an interception.
A fumble.
And it was, and then he did some other ridiculous play.
That was the infamous.
That was week one, like quarter one, and it was like the season is literally
done.
It was finished.
That was the infamous post game conference where he said, "Well, I don't throw interceptions, and Alfred Morris doesn't fumble the ball, and it's just one of those games."
Yeah, that was.
Yeah, sure, buddy.
My in person, I think Steve was referencing this. My in person was actually the first home game after 21 passed away. Having to be in that stadium was super emotional game. And
where we voluntarily was just...
against the Bills.
Yeah.
Joe Gibbs calls a timeout to try to ice the Bills kicker and then ridiculously calls a second timeout. So instead of a 51-yard field goal, which he missed on the attempting to ice, or it was a 45-yarder or whatever they get. You can't... The ref, like, I remember watching the ref calmly walk over to Gibbs. Gibbs just kind of put his hands in his pocket, and then they announce on the loudspeaker... 5-yard penalty for calling 2 timeouts in a row against the Redskins. The Bills march 5 more yards closer. They kick the ball as time expires, and we lose the first game post Sean Taylor. I remember the first play of that game too, where they
kept the player off the field.
They kept the player off the field, and there's a lot of players I respect a lot after that game, but that was
that was painful. What happened in that play? I mean, remember Buffalo? We played with 10 guys, and then of course. They ran like a 50-yard play. Yeah. Like, they didn't even take a knee. It was like a 50-yard play.
I mean,
because Buffalo didn't care.
No, Buffalo, it was, I think Fitzpatrick.
Adam Archuleta missed like 6 tackles.
It wasn't Fitzpatrick. I don't remember who the quarterback was, but I remember watching him. He was in a shotgun, and he audibled to, or he was in a run formation. Because the first game, it's the first possession and first play of the game, and he audibled to a hot route, and it was like a 50-yard play.
No disrespect to how moving that tribute was. But our team was so bad that they probably just thought we went on with 10 players and had no idea what was going on.
I mean, I'm okay with the tribute. I'm not okay with, like, Gibbs should have known the rule. But, I mean, that was the beginning of a long stretch of really bad teams. I mean,
But that year we made the playoffs. We went on a streak after that game and we made the playoffs.
Yeah, that's true, too.
But then we went back to mediocrity.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough question. I think there's a bunch of... Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, I know we were talking about the Nats and then we got onto the Redskins again. But I don't know. Like, I'm kind of new to baseball. I kind of picked it up when they moved here. I went to a couple games when they were playing at RFK. I love the Nats' new stadium. It's the only team in D.C. that... Maybe the Capitals are, like, a close second. But the Nats actually do get Nats fans into Nats Stadium. Like... That park is actually filled with Nats fans. It does get loud.
Well, no.
And our fan base, and the Nats fan base is an intelligent one. Like, they know when to cheer. That was something I remember the talking heads talking about a lot last year. Like the people, like, as fans, we've matured. We know when to cheer, when to be quiet, like, what's happening in the game. It went from being, like, a social activity that people in D.C. and Nova and whatever did. It's kind of switched into, like, no, this is, like, actually where sports fans go. And people take their kids and everything. It's very different atmosphere.
You could say the same for the Caps, because the phone booth... When you're looking at a Caps game and a Wizards game, is a completely different environment.
Well, but that isn't that what winning brings? I mean,
absolutely,
that's what winning brings, right? I mean, wouldn't I still don't think FedEx gets filled if the Skins go on like a, unless they go on like a 2-year stretch where they lose no home games. I just don't see that stadium getting filled because it's an awful game day experience. At least Verizon Center or whatever it's going to be called next year. At least it's in DC,
right?
Right, Nats Park is in DC. The new DC United Stadium is in DC. These are metro accessible places, and people can go. Like, I'm always shocked. Like,
you can make a day of it. You have stuff to do before and after.
And it's kind of cool when you have the Nats playing at, like, 1 o'clock and people, like, they take a half day and they go. Like, that's really cool. I think this is something Steve told me a while back. I think, like, 5-10 years from now, maybe even 15 years from now, like, those day games are going to become more numerous and you're going to see, like, it's going to become a tradition here. Like, you go, just like you have these day games at Wrigley and at Yankee Stadium. I think you're going to see that here, too. And the fan base, I think, is maturing with the team. And it's great that the team is winning. But how sustainable is it, especially, I mean, maybe, I don't know, like, baseball is something, like I said, I'm still learning, but if you lose Bryce, I mean, bats, I think, are easier to find than pitchers, right? I mean, bats are a little bit easier to find than arms, but...
I'll tell you what, we are sleeping on potential MVP candidate this season, Trey Turner. Trey Turner is unreal, and he will make people forget about Bryce Harper if he continues the way he's been going, especially, and Daniel Murphy too. So I wouldn't be too worried about Bryce. I'll tell you what, there's a real vacuum in this city for sports. If one of these teams can get over the hump, meaning the Nats advance in the playoffs, the Wizards get to an Eastern Conference Finals, or the Caps can make the Stanley Cup, this city is going to go bananas over that team.
So, okay, so,
and I believe
that's an awesome question. So which of the four teams is the closest to actually getting that? Because the Wizards were an injury and a Paul Pierce not counted three-pointer away from pushing Atlanta, but they were still two games away. The Caps were one game away, but they choked a 3-1 lead. They actually fell down, I think, 1-3 once to start the series, right? Like, for the second year in a row. The Redskins are, I mean, like I said, we're just happy that they made the playoffs or almost made the playoffs 2 years in a row. And the Nats, you know.
My say is it's definitely going to be the Caps because, correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, the Caps right now, when you're looking at them, complete and utter powerhouse in the NHL. The Nationals in their postseason, in the seasons they've appeared in the postseason, great team, but not that scared powerhouse type team that other teams worried about as much as other teams worried about the Caps right now.
I would say the Caps and the Nats,
I agree. I think
any season can make it. The Wizards, I think, are going to have a little bit of a hard time, and I think we're really far for the Redskins to get there. I'm hopeful for the Wizards. I'm hopeful for the Redskins. I just think they got a far go.
I don't know enough about hockey, but Caps, best record in the NHL. They're probably the best player in Ovechkin. They seem to be playing well. They're always so close. That's a real curse right there. I mean, if we had more time and we knew more about this, we would get into how the hell the Caps keep on choking in the playoffs. So I think Caps number one. I think the Nats are right there. Wizards, I think as long as LeBron James is in the Eastern Conference, they won't make it anywhere significant. And then a very, very dead last Redskins.
So we all agree on the Redskins. I have a different take. I actually think the Wizards are probably the closest to breaking that. And I think, or breaking through. And I think it's for a couple of things. One, the talent on that team. Like, I agree the Caps are a stacked team, and they look great, and they're doing it. But they've done it before. And I think the city almost expects that the Capitals are kind of be around when it's time to make that playoff push and get into the postseason. I think people just expect the Caps to be there. And the way they're playing right now demonstrates that. With the Nats, I think there's also that expectation. Like, this is a recurring theme. This is about 5 years now, 6 years, where the team is competitive, the team is stacked, they're doing well, and there's an expectation that we're going to at least make the postseason and potentially challenge to make it a little bit further each year. I agree that the Redskins are a distant last, although, you know, if you look at this last season, if they don't tie in London and beat the Bengals, if Kirk doesn't throw an interception in week two in the end zone against the Cowboys, I mean, if they don't let Matt Stafford go down the field in what seems like 5 seconds, they easily make the playoffs and they get a first round. They get a first round game that maybe they win. And I don't like to play the hypothetical game, but they are definitely of the four teams the furthest away. To me, the Wizards are the biggest, are the most likely to break through. I think the Kevin Love injury is a big deal for Cleveland. They don't like Tristan Thompson is. He's good and everything, but he's got a lot going on, and the Kardashian effect is a real deal. I know it's not something that happens on the court, but it happens off. Personally, I think that team is gonna struggle to hold on to that first place seeding for the rest of the season. I think the Celtics can get close. I know the Wizards can get close. I think the Wizards got a little bit better, and I think this town, to Paul's point earlier, I think there's a lot of like basketball fans here that are aching for a team to cheer for, to get behind. John Wall is. I mean, Ovechkin is awesome and Bryce is awesome. John Wall is incredible. I mean, outside of Russell Westbrook, he's the best point guard in the NBA, and it's not even close. Third place isn't even close. So for me, I'd love to see the Wizards get through. I think they're a lot closer. I think if Bradley Beal stays healthy, I think if they can keep getting production out of their bigs and they get a couple more lucky bounces like against Cleveland, I think they got a real shot here. I think they'll make the postseason easily. They're going to have home field advantage or home court advantage, which hasn't happened since, I think, one of the Chris Webber years where they finished fourth. So they got a real shot here. I like the way they match up with pretty much every team, including the Cavs. Like, I know we can't cover – we don't have a person that can cover LeBron, but hey, Otto Porter's playing lights out.
Let's check in on the Wizards and how close they are after the next game that they're about to play, which is the Warriors – and we'll see what happens.
They have the Warriors and the Raptors this week. Those two big games.
Two huge games.
They're coming off of 0-2 after.
And they're coming off two bad losses to two bad teams.
If you at least split those and keep the other one competitive.
Yeah, awesome. But okay, what if they come out and win both those games? Can they win those games?
If we can come out and we can keep it competitive with the Warriors,
can the Wizards beat the Warriors?
Yes, the question is right now, is KD playing? Is KD playing? Yes. He has an ankle injury. Is he playing?
Assume he plays.
Right now, I say no way.
Ankle or hamstring.
Right now, I say no way we beat the Warriors.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll, I mean, by this time next week.
I would be happy
week,
at 1-1.
But you want to know what? Week. If it was before the All-Star break, I think we would have been a lot closer.
I think the break messed up their chemistry, but they'll get it back. Scotty's doing an amazing job.
The rotation has got to be adjusted.
But Warriors game could be the game that they come in and they play lights out, that it just ignites that rest of the season form.
I agree.
They get right
I
back
agree.
On
if
track.
They get, I think they can get up for the game. I think they can win that game. It's going to take time. They got new personnel they got to work in. But we started off 2-8, and these guys have rebounded tremendously. They look good. I mean, if Bradley Beal's healthy, Otto Porter's healthy, John Wall's healthy, that is a formidable 1-2-3. I mean, it's just so solid. So we'll see. I mean, by the time we gather for the next DDC podcast here, we'll have a better, I think, more insight into the Wizards. And hopefully by then, the Redskins have a quarterback and two receivers to go catch the ball.
To a long-term deal.
And we'll see if the Nats got anything left. We'll check in on them from spring training. And
can we get Sean Spicer as a special guest for next episode? He's a big DC fan.
We'll see if Melissa McCarthy's available. We'll see what we can do.
I don't know if you'll be able to hear him with all the gum chewing.
One thing at a time, gents. That's right. It for us.
Until then, visit us on defeatingthecurse.com or follow us on Twitter @DefeatTheCurse.
Good night.